Hello! It is the 18th of November. I am Richard Dort, and this is ESBK Studios, the podcast / YouTube channel arm of my TTXGP Matters blog on WordPress. So that'd be ttxgpmatters.wordpress.com. All right, welcome and hello. This is your weekly electric motorcycle news wrap-up. I don't cover e-bikes, I don't cover e-scooters. Not my gig. But electric motorcycles, electric race bikes, yes, I'm your man. So, what do we got for this week? I'm going to give you a little brief right here. We've got a beautiful video by my old partner, Andy. We've got some news on Zero's new 2022 lineup. I could spend a lot of time digging through that because that is a... I'll be nice. It's a beautiful hot mess. Without the beauty. So we got Ride Apart has a ton of electric motorcycle news on their website. The Pack has got some articles. That's the European kind of version of my site, only much nicer and up to date. We've got some other stuff going on here. Mostly 22. We've got EV Rider. They had a local pod. He's done a podcast with Scott Harless, the inventor of the dual port charger for your Zero SRS and SRFs, right? That platform. I got a lot of things to say about that podcast. What have I got to say about the 2022 Zero lineup? You'll want to tune in for that. We've got some other news. Michael Ulerich. Ulerich. I got to talk about him again. What's up with him? We just found out he got into Damon Cycles. Let's see here. We've got some wah-wahs, as I like to say. Motorcycle.com got some want ones. They could still be right, but not yet. We've got EV News Daily. Just started listening to him. I listened to him on the Inside EV's weekly podcast, and so I started listening to him just as he went on vacation. He made an absolute mess of the new news from Zero, like a complete disastrous mess. It really makes me question if I need to be listening to him or not. We'll tell you what I feel. We'll see how you feel. Go ahead and let me know if I'm right or wrong. Or you feel if I'm right or wrong. All right. Let's see here. And then we've got some more what-was. Hey, stay tuned after this, and I'll run it all down for you. Hello. Okay, so it's been over 2 weeks. Since I've done my last podcast, so we've got like 2.5 weeks of news. I'm going to skip because I normally record on Monday, post on Wednesday. I'm going to skip recording on Monday again. It's Thanksgiving vacation. Maybe I'll record on Wednesday or Thursday and post again. No. Yeah, maybe I'll try to work back onto that schedule somehow. I'll figure it out. But anyway, moving ahead. Andy cannot for life remember his last name. He is the Andy that ran the video cameras for the coverage of the 2013 TTXGP World Finals in Daytona Beach, Florida, that I was so fortunate to cover. Some employees at Brammo, thank you, Brian, and thank you, the other person whose name I can't remember right this moment, but I've thanked you many times, and I will forever continue to thank you, too, for sending me money so that I could buy the plane ticket to go. And thank you, Dom, from Inside EVs. He let me crash in his hotel room. I think I paid him something, but I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I was very poor then. So, anyway, he came from Australia with the electric superbike team representatives from Australia, the champions over there. Munch team was there, champions from Europe. Brammo was there, the champions from the U.S. Motuses did not show up. Lightning did not show up. It would have been a hell of a lot more entertaining if they had bothered. But c'est la vie, life goes on. I'm not, who am I? So anyway, Andy is an amazing videographer, and he just posted the most beautiful video of a guy doing his trip around Iceland. He had to sail the bike on the ferry to Iceland, and I think he got to charge the bike while he's on the ferry too. And then did a motorcycle tour around Iceland. You need to look up EV Motorcycle, the EV Motorcycle channel on YouTube. And you will see me there if you go back to the 2013 videos. But the latest video that I have seen is the documentary he did about that guy's trip. It's absolutely gorgeous. You need to check it out. Give it a like, give him a subscribe, ring the notification bell if that tickles your fancy. I'm gonna let yeah, there we go. I'm a music teacher. The kids tell me I gotta hit the notification bell and subscribe all the time when I show them YouTube videos. So, moving on. Richard 230, if you've been on any of the electric motorcycle forums for the last, oh, I don't know, almost 10 years, you should recognize that username. That is not me. I am TTXGP fan. That's my handle, or Jazz Clarinet. That's my other handle. So Richard 230 always posts news, links to news articles, or even pictures from his local newspapers. So he tries to stick to the journalism, proper journalists. All right. Never post any of my stuff. I'm not really a proper journalist, so I guess there I go. The only thing he's come up with in the last few weeks, that was really weird. I don't know if you guys heard that. Popular Science has covered Zero's 2022 lineup. So go ahead and check that out and see if that's a thing. But Richard 230's Corner, I'm going to make that a regular feature. All right, Electric Motorcycle Forum. Shout out to my Zero followers, the SRF, the guys riding the SRFs and the SRSs. There's a new firmware update up there, version 20. Check it out. Ride Apart. Yeehaw. Ride Apart. I mean, okay. We'll start back November 2nd. Vulcan announces worldwide expansion plans already underway. Okay, that's the South or Central. It's like Central American, maybe South American. Electric motorcycle company. They've got, I think, a shorter range, but super fat tire trail bike, right? Which would be really useful for just getting around through really rough conditions. Won't get stuck in the mud as much easy and things like that. Floats on the mud, doesn't dig in. And plus or minuses on how you ride your bike. But anyway, they're expanding. So go on over to Ride Apart if you want to read more about that. Harley lends live wires to Glasgow police for the climate conference. That's pretty sweet, right? Damon begins construction. That was November 3rd. November 3rd, Damon begins construction on production facility in Canada. All right, they just posted a video a little last time I had done the news where they had just done a groundbreaking ceremony. So they've actually started production. We got our first news about the battery, the new Zero lineup. Well, we're going to save that for later, but they've got Mr. Dustin Wheelan. He's got his take on it. All right, he is. Him and Enrico are two of the more prolific electric motorcycle news writers on Ride Apart. And there's a few others in here that I'm sure I'll get familiar with as well. All right. So it just skipped around on me. Yeehaw. So we're up to there. Vmoto. Oh, no. If you're launching a brand, not going to report it. I want real bikes, no scooters. Vulcan announces plans to build dealership across America. They're building bikes. I'm going to announce that. So we should be able to get that, read about that if you're interested in those Vulcan bikes. It looks like it's one of those bikes, like a super fat tire. A Yamaha makes a model like this. My buddy would be all into this if he was into electric stuff. No, startup, scooters. Vmoto is going to show something at EICMA. It's the European IE, sorry, the EICMA. I have not been following that. That's been going on right now. I'm going to take my Thanksgiving break as a music teacher and get caught up on that. So Vmoto is getting serious. They're making a little bit of noise, it sounds like. That's the scooter news. Oh, this is fun. This scooter built a solar-powered scooter from recycled materials. You got to check that out. Let's see. Voxen begins new speed test in Florida, the revised Wattman design. All right, check that out if you're gonna land speed records. Not Solera. Oh, jiminy Christmas. What is their name? The Belgian electric motorcycle they ran in Solera. Yeah, Solera. Belgian company's been around for a while. I don't know if they've actually ever built a bike. They've built some production bikes. They've built some prototypes, and they've raced the Isle of Man. And their designs have been super promising, but the results never quite got there. Isle of Man's a tough course. All right, little plenty of people revealing. All right, and hang on one second. 3-year-old break. As you can tell, it's early days here at ESPK Studios again. Even though I've been doing it for a decade, but the YouTube thing's new. I'll be improving my microphones and whatnot, but where would I left off? Saraleya is developing 5G-powered optical detection. Check that article out if you're into it. Let's see here. More concepts. Sweden's Regent RGNT, those really classic looking electric motorcycles. There's some videos of them rolling around in England. They have started deliveries and are selling them. So go get yours today if you're in Europe, I guess. Can we order them here in the US? Who knows? All right, that is actually it. There's nothing on motorcycle.com under the electric motorcycles. There was some electric motorcycle news, not under that thing. They have an option. What type? You search what type. There's one for electric motorcycles. They didn't do the tags right or whatever, but I did dig around. There's nothing from motorcycle.com except for the Zero stuff, which would make sense because Brian Wispen is now a VP of development at Zero. He was the he wasn't vice president. He was in charge of product design at Brammo, and that was his. The Impulse was his bike, and I think the little one before that, the Inertia, I think was his design as well. He has a clear design language. Check out Certain Angles. Check out the Zero SRF from Certain Angles and the old Brammo Impulse from Certain Angles, and you'll see a different family resemblance. So anyway, he's at Zero now, and he has a race bike that they've been racing against gas bikes in California. And his rider is Troy Shahan, who is senior editor at motorcycle.com. There you go. So, moving on. The pack. Oh, yeah. They've got some stuff. They've got probably about six. They've got a couple stories about EICMA. So, you want to check them out. You want to get the lowdown. That's concepts. Yes. Electric Cycle Rider on YouTube finally posted. Here's got the trailer. The video is posted. Him and his buddy did 1,000 miles off road on Zero DR DSRs. I'm assuming they're done up like the Black Forest Edition. I don't know if they're actual Black Forest Edition, but they might as well be. 1,000 miles on DSRs. Check that video out. I tried watching it right after I got home from work, and I drifted off while watching it. And I remember the video started with, we planned this really out really, really intently, and ended with, wow, that didn't go anywhere as bad as it could have. So I don't know that it was all that dramatic, but for us EV enthusiasts, electric motorcycle enthusiasts, I think it's a fun video to watch for sure. So, and it's very beautiful. It's right up there with Andy's video, like right up there. Really pretty video. So check it out. He's also got, or someone here has written an article about Saraleya's. Again, they're European, so they're kind of the, I know I came first, but I didn't really do much the last few years. So, moving on to Electric Motorcycle Race website, epaddock.com. Moto E, this is all about Moto E. They've got some interviews with teams and some news about the upcoming season. I clicked home and that apparently was the wrong thing to do, because apparently I've lost my Wi-Fi connection. What in the holy of all holies? My, when I went to take, no internet connect. When I went to take my break, my 3-year-old break there we go. The computer decided to update itself. As old computers will do. All right, so they've got a few articles on there, mostly about team stuff, but there was one. There's still that article from the Ducati about Ducati taking over Moto E in over a year. And the, okay. All right. Moto E represents an epochal change. Proud to be part of it. Adventures of a few racer and his team, new 2020 team announcement. That's about all they're showing me. God, what was this thing? All right. Well, watch out for the ads on that. And another three-year-old break. Okie dokie. Oh, here we go. What happened to the calendar of the Moto E in 2022? MotoGP calendar, albeit provisional, has already been released for more than a month. The calendar of Moto E was expected after a few days, but this did not happen. Why? And apparently they go into that. That is incredibly common. I ran into that all the time with the TTX GP. They had a heck of a time getting the tracks to agree to stuff. Yeah, they just had a heck of a time. So this is no surprise to me. But go ahead and check that article out if that's your thing. Now, moving on. Lex Sommer tests a Zero FXE. I couldn't get through the whole video. But if you're into Lex Sommer, check him out. You check him out on YouTube. He owns an Energica Ego 13 kilowatt hour pack. 13 whatever point whatever it is. Oh yes, new cross country record. So Zero Fun, and I can't remember his name right now. Okay, so Scott Harless, the guy who invented the I talked about in my promo, the guy that invented the dual charger ports for your SRF or SRS. Okay. Zero Fun, and I'm completely blanking on your name right now. I think it's like Michael or something, but I can't remember. Anyway, he did a cross country record, but he started in DC and went a longer way. Whereas Scott, who lives in Florida, he started and did the shortest route cross country. He did the same route that I'm gonna blank on his name. I picture his face. I've met the man. Anyway, the previous record holder, who said it years ago, Terry Hirschner. He took Terry Hirschner's route with his modified Zero. Not major modifications, just the dual port charger, so he could charge it full 12 kilowatts wherever. I'm good, Richie. He on a Zero did that and beat Zero Fun, who rides an Energica now, hence the name of his YouTube channel. He beat his record by like an hour and a half. So Zero Fun turned around and just did it again. He has to leave his bike in California, but he went down and did the same route that Scott did, or at least started from the same place and in the same place, the shortest distance on the US. And he obliterated the record. He did it, it was cold too, so he's suffering, so the battery was charging good and the bike was running good, but he was freaking cold. He did it in 93 hours, and that includes an 8-hour delay because of a flat front tire. Yes, if you get a flat front tire or any flat tire on a motorcycle, you are waiting a while. It's not like a car. They don't have a lot of those around. So, you want these back? Okay. So, moving right along. Good job to you, Zero Fun. He is going to come back again in a minute. Now, EV Rider is a YouTube channel. Gentleman out of a former local TV news guy out of Jacksonville, Florida, has EV Rider. He goes on some rides. He sounds very much like a local news show. He's got just likes to show off the cool towns here in Florida. There are cool towns, as there are anywhere else. I'm from Maine, a little more partial to those up there, but no, he finds some really sweet, really pretty spots. And nice spots as he tours on his Zero motorcycle, his second one. He used to have a 2013 or 14 Zero, and now he has got a Zero SRF 2020. So they decided to do a podcast on the 2022 Zero lineup. Well, they're both SRF owners. They're in the Zero crowd. They're not quite. There was a little tiny hint of a kind of a Tesla stand kind of thing going on, but they're both really good guys. Scott Harless is the engineer behind. He's an electrical engineer, so he had a lot of insight that the other gentleman did not. He says he opens up and he says the biggest announcement was about the increase in energy. So if you don't know, and I'm gonna go into it a little bit after this, but the 2022 motorcycles all have, they've taken an SRF, put less expensive parts on it, and called it an SR. And they have electronically limited the horsepower and torque and the amount of the battery that you can use. So the battery is called a 14.4 plus. If you buy an SR, a standard SRF, or a standard SRS, those packs are upgradable to a full 17.3 kilowatt hours. I don't know if you can only pay for an upgrade to what's coming next. There's a 15.6 plus pack. Here's the kicker. These guys talk about this and say, oh, well, if you upgrade to the premium versions of the SRF and the SRS, you get the full battery. No, you do not. You get the 15.6 plus, the ZF6 15.6 plus pack. It's the same pack, still 17.3 kilowatt hours inside, but you just get to use from the factory 15.6. If you want the full 17.3, you still have to pay through the app to have that extra battery unlocked. Now, the upgrade from the 14.4 to the 17.3 is twice as much as the 15.6 to the 17.3, as it should be. So there is that. And don't you dare shut off on me again. And it's going to. All right. So there's that as well. And I don't have time for looking for me. Yeah, I'm glad you're looking for me. Usually you're a lot faster. Oh, there we go. Okay. So moving on. But he says that the increase in energy was unexpected and no one thought they were going to increase the energy for years. You are not hanging out in the same forums I am. You probably hang out on Facebook and I have no idea why you would think that. I just said in my last, not that anyone's watched this, but I just said in my last news thing, like, what's going on? Zero's been at 14.4 for 4 years now. They always increase, not big jumps, but they're always refining those packs, and every 2 years they would have a modest bump in capacity in their packs. But it'd been 4 years. It was like 2 years in a row they increased the amount in their packs, okay? Back in the early teens. So like usually it was every 2 years you would get a bump, you get a bump. But they have been stuck at 14.4 for 4 years, almost 5 years now, actually, if you kind of count it right. And I was wondering what's going on. So I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't know what forums they're hanging out in. The forums I'm hanging out in, everyone's like, about time. Like, they've been stuck at that package, pack level for a long time. So I'm really not sure who he's talking to. But that is not how I feel about it. But it is okay if you feel otherwise. If you're pleasantly surprised that Zero came up with the technology after 4 years, and all the advancements into that cell technology has been happening in the last 4 years, that they finally revised the pack to a good bump up to 17.3, then you know, well, you're a happier person than me. But anyway, moving on. He also says that most people thought it'd be a wallet. Yeah. And again, this is in light, you increase it. And I question again this thought process, because Energica just came out with a 21.5 kilowatt hour pack, and Harley came out with a 15.5 kilowatt hour pack. So you've been at the same pack size for 4 years. The competition has just bumped you and leapfrogged you at the same time, and you're surprised they increased it? I just don't follow that logic. And he's an electrical engineer, though. He works in an industry. He never reveals what it is. So maybe it's that kind of insight in manufacturing that gave him that surprise. I've worked in factories as a technician and as one of the drones on the line. I've done both, so I am familiar, but I've never been from an electrical engineering side because I'm not an electrical engineer. I am an electrical / electronic technician. Music teacher by trade now, but I've done that for brought home some money by troubleshooting before. So anyway, they do make a really good point, though. The upgrades are not just for the new 2022s. They are retroactive for the 2021s and the 2020s as well. However, he goes to look on Mr. Bill Bortsfield goes to look, he's the host, He goes to look on Zero's website, notices the 2022s you have to go to the dealer. I've read a comment about it's a quick trip to the dealer. This is going to be a big deal in a minute. So he goes on, so they're talking about that. The 2022s and the 2021s do not have to go to a dealer. All the upgrades are available through your phone. You pay for it through your phone. You get the update. You run the update through your phone, I'm assuming, to the Cypher 3 Plus programming. And Bob's your uncle. You get an update. It may be that the 2020s do not have the Cypher 3 Plus programming or the security features to allow for this. So they're going to have you have your dealer just plug in and do the upgrade that way, so it's a lot more secure. That could very well be, and they kind of go over that, how that could be a possibility. But they completely miss that the 2021s and the 2022s, you can upgrade over the... So they're not as thorough as I would like to see people be. Especially for someone who's an electrical engineer and someone who is a retired TV person. Yes. So there we go. We went over that. Another good point is that there's a bump. You can pay for a bump, a 10% bump in charging. Well, the electrical engineer says, you know, you go on the open market, you can almost never find a 3-kilowatt charger, but you can always find a 3.3-kilowatt charger. That 0.3 is 10%, or a 6.6-kilowatt-hour charger is more relevant in this case. So his theory is that for whatever reason, Zero is limiting the chargers to just 3 kilowatts or just 6 kilowatts. Just as an extra safety measure, make sure everything lasted, gentler on the packs, yada yada. And that now you can pay to unlock that software to the full, so that they had locked out that last 10% and are now allowing you to pay for it to unlock it, which is almost $400, by the way, for a software unlock. Yes. All right. Another good point. Yes. DC fast charging, they make the point, DC fast charging needs at least like 200 volts architecture in the battery pack, to be able to, that's as far down as they can drop, 240 maybe, but that's as far as they can drop, 208 probably, actually, 208, and Zero's still running about 115 volt architecture. Which is surprising. In the age of 800-volt cars, having to run 800 volts and able to get that 350-kilowatt charging ability that the EA chargers can put out. He was saying that there was a lot of issues when you start to go to higher voltages. And also, it's a big cost thing to completely redesign your drivetrain. Because you got a motor's got to run on high voltage, your controller's got to be able to convert, you know, run on high voltage, all this stuff. Interesting fact. Brian Wissman, the VP of product development at Zero, has the Light Fighter, his personal electric race motorcycle that he's been working on and designing. And Brian and I have a working relationship, friendship. We're not super friends, we're friends on Facebook. I've only met him in person a couple times, but I interviewed him many times. So he let me know that even the old Brammo race bikes, air packs were cooled. They now are offering active cooling, which I believe is probably a flap or some sort of air management through the battery pack, which also this electrical engineer agrees with. He let me know what else. At some point, somewhere on his Instagram, or maybe he let me know personally, it's a 300 volt, I think he's running a 300 volt pack. So somebody there knows how to do it. It really surprises me when cars are going from 400 to 800 volts that an electrical engineer would suggest that it really wasn't that good idea. He kind of didn't really suggest it, but he kind of did. He said there are issues also with going with higher voltage, probably higher costs. It is very much in Zero's wheelhouse to do as little development as possible, to cut costs as much as possible, which has always been a huge frustration, and then have their marketing team blow that they put a new kickstand on a bike completely. Oh, it's all new because it's got like a new kickstand or something. Like, the marketing team drives me nuts at Zero. This year's been a little bit better, but it's still not where it should be. They still drive me cuckoo bonkers. So I completely see Zero staying at the same architecture. If they don't have to spend money to develop a new higher voltage battery pack, they're not going to. So we're probably not going to see DC fast charging out of Zero. There are solutions or are workarounds. The DC-DC convert, a oversimplification of the explanation from what I understand is a, if you want to oversimplify it, a DC-DC converter for those DC fast charging stations. That could be a thing that they come up with in the future so they don't have to redesign to a higher voltage architecture. I feel like higher voltage architecture is a good thing, but then again, they point out that once you go over a certain voltage, now you've got to have specially trained technicians. Oh, wait a minute. Let me finish this. Unless there's all kinds of things that are going to lead into this. They talk about bike weights. I looked on the websites. Zero quotes the SRF right now at 500 pounds. They quote the LiveWire quotes their bike at 662 pounds ready to ride, insinuating that the other bike manufacturers are not quoted weights, are not necessarily ready to ride. And Energica's Eva Rebelle is 573 pounds with the 21.5 kilowatt hour pack. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I made sure that was it. So he says the Energicas are like 650 pounds. They were never that heavy. They were, I think, at most 600. But anyway, I say never. Never say never. Anyway, I looked it up. I'm pretty sure I looked up the Rebelle RS. It was 573. But anyway, that's one of the quoted weights. So he was right on the Zero, and they were pretty close on the live wire, but they were over, grossly over estimating the weight of the Energicus. Because they're talking about the weight advantage that Zero has. They managed to skim add the sorry, they managed to boost the pack from 14.4 kilowatt hours to 17.3 and lose 6 pounds in the process and add active cooling. Don't think it's fans. I agree with, I'm going to give him his name, so not just call him some blank engineer. Sorry, Scott Harless. I agree with him in his assessment that is probably an airflow management through the battery pack. I'd almost think maybe even flaps, but maybe not. Maybe just some good air channel through there to get the center of the pack cooled down. Yeah, and they go on. Then the rest of the video, you can look it up. It's the EV Rider 2022 Zero podcast. But look up EV Rider on YouTube, and you'll see it's like the second video, the second most recent video for right now. They go on to talk about their opinions on the new Cypher 3 Plus system and maybe the end of the magic charge phenomenon that Zeros suffer from pretty badly. So, the 2022 Zero lineup. There's a few things. Mostly, Zero has figured out how to get the dealers out of the way. You can go on YouTube and search dealers. Every time you want to upgrade because you can't order from the factory a Zero SRF with a charge pack or with a power pack, you have to have the dealership added on. Dealer experience. There are awesome dealers out there. I know there are, but there are enough dealerships that just want to sell the electric bikes. They don't actually want to work on them. That I feel it's become a liability. The dealerships have become some of these. Enough of these dealerships have become a liability when it comes to maintenance and upgrades that they've said that's enough's enough. How do we cut the dealers out of this? How do you cut the dealers out of this? You make the customer be able to upgrade the bike by their phone. Now they don't have to involve the dealership. Also, you cut manufacturing costs by having everyone's got a 17.3 kilowatt pack. You've just software limited. I don't know why they would spend the extra money on separate badging for the 14.4 plus and the 15.5 or 15.6 plus. But I mean, I guess maybe that didn't cost that much. They just glue them on. But anyway, because I mean, Zero really, if you can cut stuff, they will. Hang on. Here's a new drinking game for you. Take a shot every time I go on a 3-year-old break. All right. So, as I was talking about, I feel this is the biggest move towards removing the dealerships from the equation. They have enough of them. It's like when I teach music, when I teach at school. You have a kid, a class that's loud and unruly. Turns out, not even half the kids are loud. Most of them, it's just a couple with another few, four, three, four, five, that are amping the volume up because they can get away because the two or three are so, have so little self-control that they're shouting and doing whatever they want. So, if you've got enough dealers that are making you look bad, cut them out. Here's how you do it, okay? Now, the 2020 bikes that can be upgraded, well, okay, you only go to the dealer, they plug it in, it's easy peasy. They're not actually putting anything in. But if you want to see some bad examples of dealership experiences, just go to YouTube. Zero Fun is a good place to start. So that's my kind of take on the Cypher 3. I feel like stuff like this happens before. I feel like when you look at in the early days of Brammo, they offered 3 battery packs. Well, they never sold the lowest one. Why? Because no one actually ordered it. You would think that'd be the most selling one, and everyone was like, man, I can almost afford that, but I can't quite. But anyone that could actually afford it could also afford the bigger packs. So it went down to that. Same exact thing happened to Tesla. They offered 3 battery pack sizes. Almost no one ordered the smaller pack, right? To the point where they never actually physically built the smaller packs. They just software limited the packs because it would cost too much to build just those few packs for those few customers. So this kind of scheme like this, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. I don't care for it. But at the same time, it offers an upgrade path. You know, you get to an SR at a lower price point, save your pennies, upgrade the power, upgrade the battery pack size effectively, upgrade, do some cool add-ons like park assist and all these other things. Now, you want to check, you go to the Cypher 3, you go to Zero website, you click on the hamburger menu, you got your SRF and your SRS and all that. Down the bottom, scroll down and there's the Cypher store. Go in there, click on the different years and really check out what options are available, okay? So you really don't need to do your research there because it gets muddy kind of quickly. So now, here's another thought. What if you can eliminate the dealer almost altogether, right? Motorcycle guys, my personal experience having been an airplane electrician in the Navy, I've also got experience being an electronics technician for Harman Kardon. I was a temp. Let's not, you know, overstate what I was able to do. I was okay. They didn't fire me. I was only there for a year before they laid everyone off and closed the plant anyway. There you go. But I've got experience. My experience, personal experience, is that most people, at least most men, I can't speak for women, I haven't met too many enough technicians to really take a big enough sample size to have an opinion. Most men that I've met that want nothing to do with electrical troubleshooting. Now, we're in a world where they're probably dominated by electrical engineers and you guys are all for it. But my personal experience is like when I was looking to do civilian work on airplanes, I love doing the electrical stuff. I was an electrician background. I was told, you like doing the stuff no one else likes to do, you should probably not have that hard a time finding a job. I did. There were issues and complications beyond that, beyond the want. So my feeling is that probably there are a high percentage of motorcycle mechanics that want nothing to do with electrical systems on the motorcycles anyway, much less deal with an electric motorcycle, much less have to go through special training to deal with a high voltage electric motorcycle. Whereas right now it's low voltage and you can have a regular technician work on it with some minor training. What if they are trying to cut out dealers altogether? They want to introduce a high voltage architecture, but first they want to figure out how to not eliminate, but absolutely minimize any visit to the dealer for repairs that you need to do, so that they can then introduce a high voltage architecture system and not have to pay for training of high voltage technicians, except in certain areas. Maybe they do, like they've got a couple guys in a region that go around like a Tesla service, they show up in a truck. What if they're looking to do something like that? That just popped into my head. It might be cuckoo crazy, but there you go. Welcome to ESPK Studios. All right, moving right along. Okay, no, so I was completely disappointed. I have yet to see a zero product launch in I don't know how many years where I haven't been like completely disappointed. So it's standard for me to be completely disappointed. Completely disappointed is an exaggeration, but I was disappointed. I was not excited. I was excited to watch it, and then I was like, oh. I really thought that Brian had come in and redesigned and brought out the SRF, and then they built the SRS off of that platform. I was like, cool, those are the flagships. We've got the normal ones. The SR, when it came out, was the hot rod of the S. Right, it came with a bigger controller, bigger motor. It was the S had the 7, they came out with the 7R. They had to, because they are running things hotter, they had more power, the motor couldn't quite handle it, so they had to make a modified motor to handle the heat. That's a generalization, so just, you know, file that under grain of salt, but that's the generalization. So, but it was always the hot rod version of the S. I really thought what we're gonna see is that frame has been the same for a long time, but it did not start that way. The original owner of Zero had guided that development, and then he got booted out of the company. And then that development continued on, and that frame was redesigned, as far as I know, only once. I'm sure there's been minor tweaks to it over the years, but as far as I know, it's only that one redesign. I thought we were going to get a fresher SR. All right, it's still like the hot hatch of the electric motorcycle world, right? So you got your regular hatchbacks, your commuter car, that's your Zero S, right? So then you got your SR. It's like your, it's like my Chevy Bolt, but you know, like the SI version of the Hondas or something like that. I thought that's how I looked at the SR. And I thought we're gonna get a revised frame, like just an updated version of that frame that would then trickle down to the S, the DS, and the DSR. And they just run it in the SR for a while, or for a year, and see how it went. That is not really Zero's way, and I should have known better. All the SR is just a cheaper version of the SRF. That is all it is. And it's detuned to the same horsepower. Well, I think it's a couple more horsepower and a couple more foot-pound of torque. I mean, literally, less than 10, probably 4 or 5 extra horsepower or foot-pound of torque over the last year's SR. But everything is upgradable for the Moolah. All right. Question is, how do you pay for these upgrades? Why can't you pay for the upgrades to come to you from the factory? That's a good question. Because how are you supposed to add these upgrades to the motorcycle loan? That's a technicality that I'd like to have explained to me. Now, I'm sure a Zero dealership can do that. I really hope so. I hope there's a salesperson with enough patience to figure that one out, if no one has figured out how to do that ahead of time, or properly implemented training so that salesmen know how to do that when they go to do that stuff. And a salesman as well, so kind of have a experience in that world. That's concerning. The other thing that really trips my trigger is the battery pack size of the S. And I will get back to you. Take your shot. It's another 3-year-old break. Okay, so, oh yes, so the S only comes with a 7.2 kilowatt hour pack, which is half of 14.4, all right? The SR had a 14.4 kilowatt hour pack. My current commute to school and back, even though I've got the Wii one, so I can't use a motorcycle now, but in a couple of years I could. The S does not have enough range to get me to work and back. Simply put, why in God's green earth are you not offering the 14.4 kilowatt pack on the Zero S? It's the same freaking frame as on the DS. It's the same freaking frame that's on the DSR. It's the same freaking frame that's the SR. It's ridiculous that you don't offer it. If you're going to take away the SR and make it this new thing, then take the S and have the 14.4 pack be an option. And I thought, okay, no, it's zero. They're going to have one pack for the big bikes. They're going to have the smaller pack for the other bikes, and then the other smaller packs even for the FX style bikes. Yeah, no, the DSR offers a 14.4 kilowatt pack. Whoa, really? Like, you've got your little tiny commuter bike, which is more efficient. I don't mind the SR being the going to the new platform because it's always kind of the hot rod, right? So now you're up with the big boys. It's the low end hot rod. But your S is so much more efficient than those, not so much more, but it is definitely more efficient than those bigger bikes, bigger, heavier bikes. Commuter bike, having it being light is fun. I've always critiqued it because the wheels are a little narrow, or the tires are a little narrow, but you know, whatever. That's a motorcycle nerd thing. But I just, really? You're not gonna offer the 14.4 kilowatt pack in the S. Come on, guys. Really? Anyway, I don't know what I'm upset about. I can't afford to buy one anyway. So, there you go. I think that's about all I've got for the Zero lineup. The 2020s, you gotta go to the dealership. Everybody else, you can do online. I think if you check 2021s though, one or two things you may have to go to the dealer. The premium start with the 15.6. All the upgrades you can do in the Cypher store are not available. You cannot order them from the factory. I don't know how the dealerships are gonna deal with that. I don't know if you can put everything on your phone, run a loan, or what? Hang on a second. Ben and Holly's little kingdom. Gotta keep it growing. Gotta keep it going. All right. Maybe the dealer can put all that bill on your financing for these things, or if you're rolling in it, you can just, you know, blow it all right there. It doesn't matter. I don't think a lot of Zero buyers roll up and plop down a lot of cash, but maybe they do. Maybe those are the only people buying them. I don't know. Energica has just announced the new 2022 lineup. We got fresh new colors, but their fresh new colors are way awesome. Sexy Italian stuff, giant battery packs, inefficient as hell. Like, I did some numbers. They're in the like mid to high 5 miles per kilowatt hour. Zeros are closer to 7, and Harley as well, closer to that high 6, low 7, right? Almost a full mile per kilowatt hour further in efficiency than the Energicas, from what data I have found so far. So giant battery pack, but not as efficient. I don't know. Hades Omega, my favorite thing is he does a test ride, test loop, and he came with his Brammo Impulse and the big pack Energica. He came back to his house with the same state of charge. Maybe it wasn't a big pack, maybe it was a 13 kilowatt pack. Either way, it was the same state of charge. I was like, I'd kill to have an old Brammo Impulse. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on that thing. I see him used, I just drool. That's what I want. I don't want any of this other stuff. Energicas are pretty good though. So they got new colors. Oh, moving on. Damon Motorcycles. Just talked about Michael Ulerich. Just posted a week ago on LinkedIn. He is now taking a position. Where is it? As lead designer at Potential Motors, an off-road electric vehicle company in Eastern Canada where he's from, so he can work closer to home to his family and his community, and has left Damon Motorcycles. He was only with them for like 6 months. I don't really know where this leaves Damon. He designed the Superbike, or helped design it anyway. So hopefully everything will be good to go there. Anyway, I wish the best to Michael. Michael, you don't have to keep changing jobs just so I have something to talk about. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But anyway, yeah. So he listed on LinkedIn. He posted on LinkedIn. So I don't, you know, it was just an opportunity, not just an opportunity, but it was an opportunity to be closer to home. He was working Damon Motorcycles in Western Canada, So I get that. I understand that. I'm living in Southwest Florida. I'm originally from Maine. I miss Maine. Anyway, moving on. Oh, yes, motorcycle.com posted 0DSXRX and redesigned SR tabbed for 2022 model year. We have seen the new SR. We have not seen a DSR version based off of the new SRF platform, which here they're calling a DSRX. But as they said in the EV Rider YouTube video that I spent a lot of time critiquing, they do make announcements in the wintertime. So there's still room for them to be right. But so far, they're only batting 50%, or 500. They're only batting 500. EV News Daily. Oh my God. So he, in episode 1270, said something, and I found the article. The article was at artofgears.com. Zero introduces three new 2022 model years. They list the S, the DS, and the DSR. Those haven't changed in years. They changed last year. They got new displays and new colors. This year, I think they might get new colors. Maybe not. Those haven't changed in years. They completely missed the boat. He quotes that website, and then he fumbles it. He fumbles it, and it makes it sound like he said the zero standard. No, it's the zero S. And then they say, and it's written really awkwardly, and what they meant to say was for about another $2,500 in there, they meant above the S, you can add dual sport drive and move up to the DS model, dual sport drive. Dual sport suspension. Nothing's changed. Same motor, same controller, same belt drive, same frame, same everything. Just different suspension for longer travel and different wheels. That's it. That's the only difference. So you take a bad article written awkwardly, read wrong in the air, and it sounded like he said that there was a dual motor or a dual wheel drive zero available. Completely missing the boat. Which makes me, when I hear things that I know about that somebody gets really, really, really wrong, it makes me wonder what else they're getting wrong because I don't know about it. So I'm now questioning how much I need to be listening to the EV News Daily podcast and how much I need to listen to what he has to say on the Inside EVs podcast that I listen to every week. You want more painful want-wants? Because we got our want-wants. Yeah, that's the other one. The DSR, motorcycle.com is a bit of a want-want. EV News Daily, want-want. Oh my God, it was so bad. Yeah, they didn't even mention the new SR or the Cypher 3 Plus or any of that. He didn't anyway. Then we've got TWiT, episode 849. At the end of that episode, they start talking about, he has two female guests on, really crazy smart ladies from the tech industry, and they talk all kinds of stuff. At the end, they start talking about Rivian's IPO. They make a really good point. Rivian's IPO is really hard to justify, but or price of the stock right now is really hard to justify. But one of the girls had never heard of it, had no idea, and they were trying to describe it to her. And you want to talk about a painful thing to listen to, how people make giant assumptions on a tiny bit of information, people that are actually very smart, and then embarrass themselves with making giant assumptions on a tiny bit of information. It's painful. If you want to hear some bad stuff and then have something to rant about, episode 849 of TWiT. Go to the end. Oh my God. Anyway, and then to boot, Leo Laporte's wife is getting rid of their Bolt because he has them, and he originally started with a Tesla Model X. He kept, his wife kept getting her head hit by the doors because it closed in on her. He didn't really like it that much. He traded that in and got an Audi e-tron. Well, he only leases his cars. He got an Audi e-tron for a while. Now he's got a Mustang Mach-E, and his wife for a while has had a Bolt. I don't know if it's the lease is up or because of the battery fires, they're like sayonara. But she's traded in on a Mini SE. So they're making fun of Rivian, but your wife has traded her Bolt in for a Mini Cooper SE that has less than half the range, a slightly slower charge rate, which is 50 kilowatts versus 54-55 peak on my Bolt, 20 less horsepower, 60 to 70 pound-feet torque less, is less efficient, and is only 300 pounds lighter. What in the holy hell? And then I just heard on a podcast today out of Spec Motor, and they're like, yeah, the Mini Cooper SE is the one to buy. What the hell's going on with Mini if that's the one to buy? If a Chevy Bolt is faster than your Mini, what? And why would you, like, I know the Chevy Bolt's just a commuter car that's actually a lot of fun. I can spill tires all the time. Like, my son just hoots and hollers. It's a riot to drive. It's a fast little hot hatch, but it looks like a slow commuter car. It's not. The Mini looks like a fast car. It's not. Half the range. It's less efficient. It weighs less. A little less. Not a lot less, just like a little less. Like, one of me plus my son less. Really? Anyway. So, yeah, they want to make fun of Rivian, but this is the decisions they're making in their life. All right, and then another one. Oh, here's a really upbeat article to end on this, all this on. There's an article on Wired called Cars Are Going Electric, What Happens to the Used Batteries? There's a company that Chevy calls and gives them all their, all these Chevy Bolt battery packs that are coming out of my car and everybody else's Bolts. We'll be going to this one company and they refurbish them and keep old battery packs. He's a Dutchman. Moved to the U.S., has his whole company just based on that. And it's a really kind of cool, uplifting article. So I will end on that. That is 2.5 weeks worth of electric motorcycle news in the 2.5 busiest weeks of electric motorcycle news I think I've seen in years. So thank you so much if you're still listening. Thank you very much. If you're still watching, thank you very much. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. I need 1,000 subscribers. I got one. It's not going to hurt. I'm going to try to do this every week. Just remember, my first job, first come, first serve. I'm a dad. Then I'm a music teacher. Then I'm an IT guy and a yard guy and a pool guy and repairman. And then I'm a podcaster. But I hope to do this every week. Have fun doing it. Thank you guys very much. Keep the rubber side down. Take care.